is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. It's our daily in-depth look at people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. Inside Douglas County is presented by Concrete Builders Supply. Now, Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
The Sobering Center opened just a few days ago, but a lot of work has got into its existence. And Jerry O'Sullivan joining us from ADAPT, the Chief of Regional Business Operations for ADAPT Integrated Healthcare, that covers their entire four-county region of Douglas, Josephine, Coos, and Curry. Jerry, thanks for being on this afternoon.
Hi, Kyle. Thanks for having me.
So can you go in depth and explain exactly what is this Sobering Center?
Right. So Sobering Center is a place for people who are intoxicated to be held safe and allowed to sober up until they can kind of take care of themselves again. So it's a temporary short term, and it's not a service, really. It's just a public safety. It's more of a public safety service than a medical service.
Now, how does this differ from maybe the model people traditionally think of somebody getting hauled off to jail and sobering up there?
Sure. I mean, the idea is the same thing, but the service is a little different. So what we're trying to do, and the reason why we got into this, frankly, is because it's an opportunity to engage that person in the next step if they're interested in making a change that lasts. And so what we're hoping to do is connect with them for other services, which could include treatment for addiction. It could include mental health services or medical services. It may involve other agencies, frankly. We may connect with housing or other programs out there. They could get OHP. They get signed up for those services. And we're really looking for this as an opportunity to make that connection and hopefully make a lasting change for them. It probably won't happen the first time, but after several interactions, we're hoping to make progress on kind of what their goals are for improving their life.
Now, is a facility like this common in other places in Oregon, other states?
They're scattered around the country. There's all different kinds of models in order to do this kind of work. In Oregon, up until a few years ago, by law, there were only allowed to be three. It's kind of a weird law. We're not sure why it was in place, but there was one in Portland, one in Eugene, and one in Medford. And they were all pretty similar in their style. They were more of a low-barrier shelter type. People were all grouped together in the same room or in rooms. And the idea was just to get them off the street. It really wasn't a holding type situation. It didn't necessarily involve law enforcement. It was more about trying to open up a place for people to shelter while they were intoxicated. So a lot of it was self-referral. Since then, a group down in Southern Oregon wanted, in the Grants Pass area, wanted to establish their own sobering center, and they needed that law to go away. So they worked with a legislator who worked in the legislature in order to get that changed. And that law was taken away, and some other resources were identified to help develop more of these resources across the state. The one I talked about is down in Grants Pass. They used a different model, which is more of a holding model, and each individual person has their own room that they're in. Law enforcement is the primary pathway, although down there they also use the hospital and some other ways to bring people in. Here we're only using law enforcement as our kind of pathway into the sobering center.
Now, I know the idea of a sobering center has been talked about for years here. Sometimes the name has been slightly different, but I mean, it's been well over a decade, it seems like to me, that the idea of this has been talked about.
Yeah, the conversation's gone on for an awfully long time. And in fact, when the legislature had some funding set aside for Douglas County, we agreed to hold the money, but a different nonprofit was working in the community to try to develop this sobering center. And we sat back for a couple of years. They ran into some difficulties. They were trying to put in a different kind of model and didn't get a lot of support. So when they finally said that was enough, we stepped in and said, okay, we'll give it a try. And we brought together stakeholders, found a fair amount of support. And I would say the most important piece for us was having a model in Grants Pass that we were able to model this sobering center after. They've been a wonderful resource. They've been an open door for us, provided to us with all of their lessons learned and resources that's made it possible for us to do this. So that's the direction that we went.
So is the organization in Grants Pass, is it something similar to ADAPT, or is it a different social service organization model altogether?
Yeah, it's a little different model. It's actually a nonprofit that was established independently. And initially, they were tied to a single treatment provider. It wasn't us. It's a different treatment provider. But they wanted to have relationships with everybody down there. And they eventually got themselves established as their own nonprofit with their own board and totally independent of everybody else. It's a different model in that sense, and they have a different kind of relationship with all the other providers. For us, we were hoping something like that would be able to be established here, but it just didn't work out. And because we're a little larger organization, we were able to, contribute to this process in a different way. And the benefit here is that, for our services, there'll be kind of an automatic connection, but we also want to make sure the door is open for other providers who, especially if they have a relationship with the person who's there.
I imagine in this process, this probably included some of you involved actually going down to Grants Pass, looking around, having conversations in person down there.
Oh, yeah. So we've done a number of trips ourselves, but we also invited law enforcement to go down. So multiple law enforcement agencies send people down independently to talk with them. We also went down as part of other groups. We sent our contractors and architects down there when we were looking at designing this. So we really did glean as much information as possible from that program in Grants Pass. It's really benefited us tremendously.
So at what point did ADAPT take this project and move forward with it? How long has it been from there to now?
It's been about 2 years since we stepped up and decided we're willing to go ahead and run with this. And we've had tremendous support. That's what's made it possible.
Now, talk about just how this operates in terms of you've got, the facilities on property and with buildings that ADAPT already had, or did you add to it? How does that work?
Yeah, so we have a residential treatment facility called the Crossroads that's located on Diamond Lake. There was a property that became available next to it, which was a large warehouse. And at this time when we were thinking about stepping up and taking the lead on this, that property was available, and that's really where we started. This property will make it work. We'll go ahead and buy this property. And originally, we were going to try to locate this inside the warehouse. This is what they've done in Grants Pass. They built a building inside the building. Up here, the costs for doing that construction just started getting out of control pretty quickly. The building's very large, 20,000 square feet. Sobering Center is pretty small. It's about 2,000 square feet. And we were required to bring the whole building up in terms of a number of different services, and that was just too expensive. Inside the building, even outside, building a separate building turned out to be pretty expensive. And we settled on a process that involved a contractor who used storage containers and using that as part of a remodel process, or actually a new construction process in this case. And it actually worked out to get us to a budget that was doable.
And so how many of these do you have?
How many
of these,
in the...
Yeah, of these container buildings.
Yeah. It's one building, and it's made up of four storage containers with a built structure in between. So it all makes one building. It's about 2,000 square feet.
And how long did it take in the whole construction process and figuring all that out?
Yeah, I think construction took us about maybe 6 months, maybe a little less than that. So it was pretty quick on a construction basis. All the planning and frankly, we ran into a number of dead ends on the budget side, I think two different times. That held us up more than anything else. I think that cost us about a year altogether. So between that and COVID, 6 months turned out to be a pretty good timeline for this.
Going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. Jerry O'Sullivan, Chief of Regional Business Operations for ADAPT Integrated Healthcare, talking about the Sobering Center. The conversation will continue in a moment, and the interview will be a podcast after 1 at 541radio.com. 1245. News Radio 1240, KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1247. Lars Larson coming at 1 o'clock. We've got something special planned for tomorrow's Inside Douglas County. We'll tell you more about that tomorrow morning. Jerry O'Sullivan with us from ADAPT. He's the Chief of Regional Business Operations for ADAPT Integrated Healthcare, covering their four-county region. And we're talking about the Sobering Center this afternoon. Kind of gone through the background for it. You mentioned the getting a lot of support in the community. Talk about some of the other groups and organizations that have gotten on board with this project.
Yeah, it's only possible really because we did build community support. The county, Douglas County, they've been very supportive financially. Also, the LPSC, which is Local Public Safety Coordinating Council, they actually helped coordinate a lot of the efforts to bring stakeholders together, and also included this in some of the grant making they were working on. And then Umpqua Health Alliance, our local CCO, Oregon Health Authority, we got a couple of grants from the state that helped with this. Roseburg Police, Winston Police, Sutherland Police, Mercury Police, all very engaged, and then all those cities, of course, provided financial support also. And then the tribe has been supportive, and they've also made some contributions from some grants that they received. So between all of that and ADAPT also contributes some to the operating costs, that's made it all possible up to this point.
Now, is all the help you've gotten from these other groups, is that just to get things started up, or are they on board for a longer term?
Yeah, it's both. And so the real cost, it was about $1 million to build this, which is, of course, a very high price tag. We were able to get support for all of that. And then the operating costs, this is not a billable service. It costs about $350,000 a year to operate it, most of that being staffing. And so many of these stakeholders, if not all of them, are contributing on a yearly basis to help provide that support.
So talk about how many staff are needed and what kind of background or what kind of professional qualifications do you need to be working in this area?
Yeah, and so there is no real standard for this. These are people who are paraprofessionals. We provide training and support for them. And we've designed it in this way. The reason that we have designed it the way we have is to minimize the staffing burden. And so it's about 7 staff members altogether who are working, you know, overall a 24/7 in a 24/7 facility to keep it operated. And it's pretty easy to manage this with one person most of the time. Obviously, we can bring in additional staff if we have higher numbers. But when there's normally in the 2 to 3 client range, or maybe even 4 or 5, one person can operate that pretty effectively.
So when someone comes in, first of all, you said this is tied to being brought by law enforcement, right?
Right, that's correct.
So if somebody is presented to you by a law enforcement officer, what happens next?
So they'll contact the center ahead of time to let them know they're bringing someone in. And we have a way for them to pull up in front close to the door, and they'll bring them into the center, and they have a place to seat them. That at that time, the intake will take place, which is a very quick process to make sure that we have some basic contact information, know who this is, and we're looking to make sure that they are intoxicated and that they're appropriate for services. And then law enforcement will take them back to a room and place them there. And then, you know, law enforcement is done at that point. The person who's working with them will provide them with some food and water, and basically be monitoring them over the course of their entire stay to make sure that, one, they're safe, and two, checking to see when they are sober enough to be discharged.
So when law enforcement brings them in, is it mandated that they accept this service, or do they have to sign off to be there? How does that work?
No, it's a choice for them. They could say, no, I don't want to be here, and then, you know, law enforcement could look at different options. The thing is that the other options are just not great. You have two options. Well, you have three options, really. The first two are, you know, the jail or the hospital. And if there's a medical issue, that's one of the things that our staff is looking for, then they'll have to get cleared at the hospital before they were brought in. If they're combative or in some way, you know, violent, then they wouldn't be appropriate. That jail would be a more appropriate place for them. But the difference in the sobering center is that our purpose is around helping connect them for services that help them with their substance use. And so we're looking for that opportunity to make a connection. We also have peers that come in and other support staff. The crisis team is connected to Sobering Center. And so depending on what their needs are, any one of these types of professionals could be brought in during their stay and work with them on, you know, whatever their needs are.
So does your staff then contact a spouse, family member, someone in their family, or is that handled by law enforcement, or is it done at all?
It can be. It's really up to the, you know, up to that client if they want somebody to be contacted. When it's closer to discharge, we are looking for that connection, because the best process in most cases would be to have friends or family be that transportation back home if they have a home to go to. And if not, then getting them transportation back to wherever it is that they need to be at that time.
So what day did you open? It was last week sometime, right?
Yeah, we kind of did a soft opening on Friday and got the ball rolling. We've had a few clients go through. It's always a learning process, but it's gone pretty well.
And obviously it's something brand new. So when people come in, what are their thoughts about being there?
Yeah, you know, I think it varies. I think there's some people that don't want to be there, but most of them appreciate it. You know, it's a lot better environment than what the jail is or the hospital. And in many cases, it's just a better alternative. We try to make it, we're non-judgmental. We're trying to make it comfortable. We want that process to be a process that allows them to feel good about the experience, good enough that they would come back again if they needed to. But we're also trying to connect them with other services or whatever it is that they need from in terms of healthcare, for example.
So a few hours up the road when they're in a better situation to go through and talk about where things are at in their life, what kinds of things do you present them with?
Yeah, I think, you know, one of the main things we want to do is understand what they think their needs are. You know, obviously intoxication is an issue, but they may feel like the bigger issue is that they don't have health care, or that they have a mental health issue that hasn't been dealt with, or that housing is difficult. So whatever it is that they identify, that's what we're trying to connect them with.
And obviously it's only been a few days in, but as you work with clients that come through, then what's the plan to track them for the short or long term?
Yeah.
Do you have a plan in place to look at that so that 6 months down the road you can say, here's how well this has worked, or here's maybe where we need to make an adjustment?
Exactly. Yeah. So one of the keys to this is collecting the data up front so we know who they are, what their issues are, how long it takes for law enforcement to bring them there, and the alternative that law enforcement had for them, so we know what's being avoided. And we want to track that over time. We know that for many people, it's going to take several interactions before they are really interested in a change. And part of that's having data about them and understanding what their needs are over the long term.
Now, this is obviously brand new here, but a lot went into it. Have you thought further down the road about having a facility like this in another Douglas County community?
Well, in Douglas County, it's a difficult thing to think about right now, just because they are so expensive to set up, and it's difficult to operate without basically a funding pathway for it. And so when I think about what it took to get this one operating, we had to have really countywide support in order to put it together. And trying to do that multiple times, I'm not sure that would be feasible under the current structure. When we think about it in other counties, there are other counties that are working on this. I don't think we necessarily want to be in the sobering center business. Like I said, initially, we were trying not to be the ones doing this. But we wanted to help someone do it, and it's difficult. It's hard to put these together, and when nobody else really was able to pull the pieces together, we were willing to step in and do it. I don't think it's something we want to do over and over again, at least not under the current funding model. Very challenging.
But you are making it available with folks in North County, South County, with the other law enforcement agencies there.
Oh, absolutely, yeah. In fact, we have, you know, all of those law enforcement agencies involved, and we are, you know, very hopeful we'll see them be able to bring people in on a regular basis also.
All right, Jerry O'Sullivan from ADEPT talking about the Sobering Center just open in Roseburg. Jerry, thanks for being on with us this afternoon.
Thank you, Kyle. Have a great day.
1258 inside Douglas County, News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Listening to Inside Douglas County on News Radio 1240 KQEN. A daily look at the people and issues that are shaping Douglas County. The show will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it and let others who weren't listening live know about today's show. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications, your home for Douglas County's news team. News Radio 1240 KQEN.